sermon. Can I first say just how good it is to be back and sharing in worship with you? It always feels like a homecoming, and it is just so good to see what God is doing among you. And exciting to be able to share where I've been. And just to fill in a small little gap, where I've been in South Wales, I've been for a year tomorrow, so it's a new adventure. But now, the sermon. So I can look out of my window across the valley where I live, and I can see little flecks of white foraging among the heather on the other side. And it is true that in Wales, there are nearly 3 sheep for every person, though even here in Blackheath, I suspect that the nearest sheep aren't that far away. I know that there were some quite near to where I lived as a curate in Sutton. But even still, when we come to think of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, or perhaps the parable of the lost sheep, or the many other passages in Scripture that speak of sheep or shepherding, it's not something that many of us will easily relate to. We're far more likely to think of it with a romanticized view than the tiring, hard work, gritty reality that it is. But how much more so is that hard, gritty reality for the life of first century Middle Eastern shepherds? But even if that imagery is a bit far removed from us, the questions and the challenges that this passage in John present us with are just as significant now as then. And this has been a significant passage for us in our parish community in the Upper Rumney Valley as we think about the life and the mission of God's people where we are. And it's helped to shape our vision for where God is leading us. And I'll share more about that in a few moments. But first, to set the scene, a brief look at the importance of shepherding, that imagery in Scripture, and then a crash course in shepherding in first century Palestine. I don't think it's possible to overemphasize how important the occupation of shepherding is in shaping the cultural understanding of Israel as God's people. I wonder if you can think of how many instances you can think of shepherds or sheep or shepherding. We might remember that Abraham, the father of faith, and Isaac and Jacob and his descendants, they were shepherds. Moses, in his time of exile in the desert, before being called to liberate God's people from slavery in Egypt in the great Exodus, he spent time as a shepherd. King David, seen as the greatest and the archetypal king of all Israel, he was a shepherd boy taken from his father's flock when he was anointed king of Israel. And the prophets of Israel, most notably Ezekiel in chapter 34, do go home and have a look at that passage, pick up this image, just as Jesus does in this passage, to critique and to criticize the would-be leaders of Israel for their failure as shepherds, and to promise that God would be the true shepherd of his people. And yes, the first people to hear the good news of the birth of Christ were shepherds on a hillside. Amazing, isn't it? And both Matthew and Mark record instances where Jesus looks out at the crowds of people that have gathered around him with compassion, because to him they look like sheep without a shepherd. They are directionless, they are hopeless, they are helpless. They are without the true knowledge of the love of God for them, the God who loves them with an infinite love and will lead them in the ways of life. And so Jesus' heart breaks at this sight. But before we delve deeper into our passage in John, that crash course on shepherding in first century Palestine, I wonder if you know any of the facts or reality of what shepherding is like. Perhaps you've heard some of these before. But shepherds in first century Palestine would have had enclosures for their sheep, both by their dwelling place and out in their pastures. And their flock constituted their entire wealth, not just their means to wealth, but the entirety of their wealth. The sheep were the shepherd's wealth itself. And so the job of the shepherd was to guard the flock, if necessary, with his life. And so, yes, there were times when shepherds would lay down across the entrance of the enclosure, becoming, as it were, the gate for the sheep, both keeping them in and protecting them from the dangers outside. And the sheep would have developed an ear for their shepherd's voice. And it's still true of shepherding today in the Middle East that if there are two flocks mixing at a watering hole, the shepherds can call their sheep out by their voice alone. And it's true that the shepherd leads from the front, not herding or corralling from behind, as we might see in the Lake District. The sheep literally follow their shepherd. And so you can see developing a relationship of trust and security and dependency of sheep with their shepherd. And these are perhaps helpful images to think of what it means for us to be God's people. I wonder if any of those images speak to where you are with Christ this morning, the thought of hearing his voice, or being led by the front by Christ. As I've already mentioned, this passage has a great deal of resonance for us as a community as we consider our life and mission. And so we'll unpack a little bit more of this passage, and as we do, I'm going to pick up on a few images, a few pictures, and share some of our story of what it's come to mean for us in the valleys as we seek to live this gospel out. And some of those images to look for are that image of the flock, the shepherd's voice, the thieves and the robbers, and boedi bobl boed ar y orau, and that's one of the few phrases of Welsh that I've learned. Life for people, life at its best. I've probably sent through a spelling mistake on the title, so it's not quite spelled correctly there, but boedi bobl boed ar y orau, life for people, life at its best. As we consider what it means for Jesus to be our good shepherd, consider this. That yes, it is about us as individuals. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd calls each of us by name. But it's always about the individual who's being gathered in to be part of a greater flock, Christ's community. Think of it this way. If I am one sheep on my own out on a hillside, it is more than likely that I am lost, which is why the shepherds come looking for me in the first place. And so that might be our starting point, where we are found, but that's only where the story begins. As Jesus brings us, the lost sheep, back into fellowship, into community with his people, the flock. And so I wonder what it means for us to be part of communities where lost sheep are found, where they can come home. Community is an important word for us, and I tend to prefer it to church, only because for so many, church has become a building or that thing we do on a Sunday. And in the Rumney Valley, we are asking the question, how do we begin to communicate that the church is primarily the community of God's people who are following Christ together, where our main charge is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves? That's what it means to be part of Christ's flock. I've been called to be the community chaplain there, and one of my main roles is to come alongside people as we go deeper in prayer and in faith, that we might be the people that God has called us to be, a community of faith that is accessible and hospitable to those who are lost and wandering in the world. In our community, there are a few of us, and really just a few of us, who are trying to work out what it means to structure our lives around a pattern of prayer, breaking bread, and studying scripture. And this is happening almost in the background of all the activity that goes on in our life and community. But we know that this is where everything starts, because this is where we learn to recognize the shepherd's voice. That all that we are and all that we do as Christ's community finds its meaning and its source in Christ alone. And so I wonder for you, where in community with other followers of Christ are those places and those times where you are learning to recognize and listen to the shepherd's voice day to day? Where are those spaces? It might be small groups or Bible studies. It might be conversations over coffee that you have regularly with others. But moving on from there in the shepherd's voice, there's an interesting movement or dynamic in this passage in John that I am captivated by. And I think it's critical for us understanding what it means to be God's people. Because we often stop with that image of the lost sheep in Jesus' arm, where the shepherd goes and brings the sheep back. And I know I'm kind of conflating two parables here. But in this passage, Jesus says the shepherd gathers the sheep in. They come in and they go out. He leads them out. They don't stay in the safety of that enclosure. They're led out into the pastures together with the shepherd leading the way, guiding and protecting him. And so Jesus gathers us into community in order to lead us out together. We are really excited and often slightly terrified at times as to how we are being led out in our communities in the valleys. As we look out at our community, we see lots and lots of people who are like sheep without a shepherd, and it's heartbreaking. And we also see lots and lots of thieves and robbers who come only to steal and kill and destroy. And I know many of you are probably actually more familiar than I am with the history of the valleys in South Wales, where communities grew up rapidly with the coal mining industry, which supported the growth of industry around the world. And then the miners' strikes and the decline of those communities as that industry has been virtually wiped off the face of the map in recent decades. And it's true of our area in South Wales that we face our fair share of social challenges with high rates of unemployment, widespread mental health difficulties, drug and alcohol abuse, and a devastating lack of aspiration among young people, all of which have left many of the families there locked into cycles of poverty. And that's what you might see if you only look out and see the surface of things. And yet when you're willing to see past all that, you find communities which still carry a tremendous sense of community cohesion, who understand what it is to come together and to support one another in adversity, as well as sharing in celebration. And I'm getting to know most of my neighbors, and they certainly know me, as word travels fast up and down Derwin Street, where neighbors still hang out on their doorsteps, and families have lived there for generations. And there are talents and skills and life that sometimes seem dormant, but is so full of beauty and potential. And this is the community to which we are called and sent as God's people in the Rumney Valley. And I wonder, as you look out at your community here, where you are called and where you are sent as God's people, what do you see? What is on the surface? What lies beneath it? Where are the wandering sheep who've not yet heard the Savior's voice? Where are the thieves and the robbers who come only to kill and destroy? As Jesus was telling his story, the thieves and the robbers he was referring to were the leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, who heaped burdens of religious observance on people, who did a great deal of damage by marginalizing and trampling the poor and the needy around them, who'd lost sight of the purposes of God and were leading others away from God rather than to him. And we may look out at our communities and see thieves and robbers taking a different shape, a different form. I wonder what are the seductive voices of our culture and our society that are leading people away from God? Voices, perhaps, that are trying to tell us what it means and what it takes to be successful in life. Or what money or what material wealth do we need in order to be content in life? Or speak of ways to ease pain and numb our disillusionment and soothe our fears with alcohol or drugs or other distractions. Or encourage us to make ourselves the center of our own universe. Voices filled with words and ways of thinking that lead people away from the love of God that's been poured out for them, the simple gospel of Christ who gave his life for them, our true shepherd. And in the midst of the clamor of voices in our society, we are called to listen to Jesus, the shepherd's voice who says, "I have come to bring boedi bobl, boedi arioi," life for people, life at its best. That's a translation from a new Welsh translation of the Gospel. In brief, our response to this in our community is our overarching mission, which we call, wait for it, making space, which is not unlike the vision you have at St. Michael's for making time for the things that matter. They were working on that vision before I arrived, I promise. I didn't import it. And we've been very fortunate. We've received some community regeneration funding, and we're in the process of setting up a community cafe and listening space called the Living Room, or Yrstalethfu, which is located next to our medical center in one of our communities. But it's more than just a cafe, and it's certainly not a counseling center. We long for the Living Room to be a place where people can find opportunities to share what's going on in their lives and to have people really listen to them, where they can find the support that they need to be signposted in the right direction to face some of life's challenges. But almost more importantly, opportunities to discover the life that Christ longs to bring to them. Through opportunities to volunteer in the community or crafts and courses, through opportunities for prayer and faith exploration, and significantly the building of relationships. We want to make space in our community where Christ's voice can be heard, whispering among the many loud voices that clamor for our attention in the world. And the Living Room is a little seed for our bigger project, which involves the renovation of our nearby local church building, St. Dingot's, and turning that into a community hub, which offers more hospitality and hope, broadening that space in our community where others can find that life which Christ has to bring. And so in a strange sort of way, we share common ground. That's our £800,000 building project, which we are halfway through funding, wondering where God is going to bring the rest of the funds from. But in all of this, we know that at its heart, at its very core, it's very simple, that whatever happens, we are called to be people rooted in prayer and in faith, with hearts and minds and ears focused intently on listening to the voice of our shepherd. And so may this be our encouragement and our inspiration when we're wondering where we're going and how it all fits together, that we might hear his voice and be his people in the world. Amen.